What time is Dr. Slichas? People are going to Slichas.
I join the morning.
Anybody have to go to Slichas this morning?
Are we finishing 9:15 and get tonight for Slichas?
I don't know. You got to find out. How many people are going to Slichas at 9:15?
I'm not.
I'm not either. Okay. Yeah. We are learning the rest of the year. We're learning Gemara Saita. So the Mishnah in the end of Saita, Perek Mashulch Melchama, has a lot of the Dinim Hilchas Melchama. So we learned in the Mishnah that the draft board has to interview all the candidates for the army, and if the Balei Avera said they don't accept them, Mi Hoisha Yori Verach Aleva Yelach V'Yoshev LeBeisai, so Misha Yori Me Avera Should Be Other. One is a Balei Avera is not accepted in the army. We mentioned that once in Valojin on Purim they put on a skit, and the lady is in Valojin, they had a lot of maskilim who were there because they wanted to go to university, and they didn't accept them. They were anti-Semitic, so they had to go somewhere to have some intellectual excitement. So they came to Valojin. So they had Bialik and a whole chevre were there. So on Purim, they put on a skit. They were making fun of the whole Gemara. So they were imagining, they were depicting the draft board, and they're interviewing all the time, all the people for the army. And this one is on the Chal Shabbos. This one eats treifas. This one is not Nizra and this. He's not Nizra and that. Talks in the middle of Kriyat Shema. And turned out there were only three people who were left for the army. They had the Vilna Gaon and the Shagasari and the Netziv. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. So all the Talmidim were rolling on the floor in laughter. How can the Gemara visualize such an army that they don't do any Averis? And the Netziv was sitting there watching the whole skit. And that was the end of the skit. So the Netziv said, no, so what's the end of the skit? So he said, that's the end. So he said, no, the end is that we won the war. There were only three people in the army, we won the war. But that's what it says in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah quotes a Machloikas Satarim, two Tanoim say practically exactly the same thing. They both say one is a Bala Bear, is not accepted in the army. So the Gemara asks, they said the same thing, what are they fighting about? So the Gemara says, there's a Machloikas Satarim, what if the fellow, the candidate for the army, is careful, he only violates Averis de Rabbanah. He never violates an Averis de Raisa. He only violates Averis de Rabbanah. So that's a machlokes satanoim, whether you kick him out of the army for an Averis de Rabbanah or not. So the Gemara gives an example. What's a mashal of an Averis de Rabbanah? So the Gemara hasach bein tefillin shel yad or tefillin shel rosh. When you put on tefillin shel yad, you're supposed to have in mind when you say the bracha laniach tefillin, it goes on the shel rosh also. And you're not supposed to talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. And if you do talk, then you go in Bracha Shein Tzvicha, and that's an Avera de Rabban. It's not a Bracha Levatola. It's not a Bracha Levatola. Bracha Levatola, let's say a person is eating vegetables, and he says Bar Pi Hadoma, and then he says again another Bar Pi Hadoma. He just said Bar Pi Hadoma. He doesn't need a second Bar Pi Hadoma. So that's a Bracha Levatola. Person is eating vegetables, and when he's half done, he says Bar Nefashis. Now he has to say another Bar Pi Hadoma to eat the second half. Then he has to say another bar nefashis. So that's not a bracha levatola. That's a bracha shein tzvicha. He could have covered all the vegetables with one bar pi adama, one bar nefashis, and unnecessarily he broke it up into two parts. So that's an aver de rabbanon. Gorim bracha shein tzvicha is an aver de rabbanon. Bracha levatola is a machloikas harishonim, whether it's an aver de rabbanon or an aver de raisa. And bracha shein tzvicha for sure is only the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, Hasach ben tefillah letefillah, a person talks in between tefillah shal yad and tefillah shal rosh, is an aver de rabbanon that is going bracha shein tzvicha. Now he's going to have to say an extra bracha before he puts on the shal rosh. So that's a machlokes satanaim. He did an aver de rabbanon. Do you kick him out of the army or not? So on Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rishonim that the Rishalmi has another mashal of an aver de rabbanon. Asoch ben yishtabach liyotzer or. You say Baruch Shem at the beginning of Pesukah Dezimra, you say yishtabach at the end. So you're not allowed to talk in between Pesukah Dezimra and Birchos Kreshma. So one who talks Asoch ben yishtabach liyotzer or, Averi hi biyode v'chozer aleha miyor chei ha-melchama. You kick him out of the army. In the new editions of the tour with the Beis Yosef. So they checked every Maramokim and they tell you exactly what page everything appears, and they point out that this Yerushalmi doesn't exist. We don't have such a Yerushalmi. The Rishonim sometimes say Yerushalmi, they mean it's an early source other than the Bavli. It's not in the Talmud Bavli. Sometimes they call a Yerushalmi the Tshuvas HaGoinim or some other, like Tosfos Masechet Shabbos quotes. It says in the Talmud, it says in the Yerushalmi that you say, there's a machlokes in Tosfos where they say a bracha when you light an Erev Shabbos. By us, it's such a double push, we call it bench and licht. When you bench licht, you say the bracha lahadlik ne'er shal Shabbos. Tosfos has two dayas. One opinion of Tosfos says you never bench licht. You light the Erev for Shabbos, you never say a bracha. The common practice is that we assume that you do say a bracha. So Tosfos says, it says in the Yerushalmi that you say a bracha. There is no such Yerushalmi. It's in the Tshuvas HaGoinim. So Tosfos sometimes has a lashon, rabbinic literature, other than the Talmud Bavli, sometimes they refer to as a Talmud Yerushalmi. So here the Beis Yosef quotes, the Rishonim quote, it says in the Yerushalmi, Hasoch ben Yishtabach liyot zerar, aver hi biyode, v'choz olam yocham mechamus, and they say there is no such Yerushalmi. The Rishonim say like that, you're not allowed to talk. So in Hilchas Pesukah de Zimra, in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, in the Chelek Aleph, so the Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal. Arizal introduced the minig that on Aseres Yemei Tshuva you say Shira Malis in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror. So the Magen Avraham is unhappy about it. He says Hayitochet, it's a hepsik, it's an Avera de Rabbanon, and they kick you out of the army. It's an Avera de Rabbanon, you're not allowed to say Shira Malis. How can the Arizal introduce that? So basically it's a minig, it's a chiluk, that's a chiluk to minig Ashkenaz, minig Svart. Minig Ashkenaz follows the Magen Avraham. They don't say Shira Malis. Minig Sfard adopted a lot, not everything, from the Nusach of the Arizal. The Arizal changed. The Arizal was originally an Ashkenaz, and then he changed the whole Nusach, and he changed the Nusach Ari. Ramosha has tshuvas about this. Ramosha basically holds that Arizal had no right to change the Nusach. He was an Ashkenaz. He should have left everything the way it is. Whatever. So the minig really is that by those who daven Nusach Svar, they have adopted this minig Arizal to say Shira Malis. So they printed it in the Machzorim. Yekis don't say. No. They daven Nusach Ashkenaz. They don't say. In Broyes. That's already in all the shuls where they daven Nusach Ashkenaz and they say Shira Malis. That's already compromises. No, we don't compromise. We don't compromise on anything. No. That's not true, they didn't. So why you for many years, they did say Shira Malis, and half the people didn't say it. So last August, we moved to the new building. So the Rabbanim had a meeting, and we said, we daven Nusach Ashkenaz, no more Shira Malis. And the old building, they said it. For many years, they said it. Half the Mispalim didn't say it, because we daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Now we, you know, officially we don't say. No, they don't. Whoever wants to say Shira Malis says it quietly. Instead of whoever doesn't want to say, doesn't say quietly. So now basically, officially, we don't say Shira Malis. Whoever wants to say says it privately.
Are we allowed to be mashed
if it's necessary?
Okay. So why could you just be Shira Malis like the Yom?
So maybe the Arizal holds like that. So the Magen Avraham holds not so. Magen Avraham holds not so. So on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, you have the comments of the Nari Behuda. That's called the Dogel Mervava. So he doesn't understand what is the taina of the Magen Avraham against the Arizal, that you shouldn't be permitted to say Shira Malis. He quotes from the Rambam, no less than the Rambam. Rambam writes that there were Mekoymas where they had a minig. They didn't say Oz Yashir in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. The old minig was they didn't say Oz Yashir in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. Question is, why not? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, because in Baruch Sho'amar, which introduces the Pesukah de Zimra, you say, V'shirei David Abdecha Nehalelcha Shabechecha Nefoercha. Shirei David Abdecha is not Oz Yashir. Shirei David Abdecha is Tehillim. So Pesukah de Zimra should really be from Tehillim. So the Rambam writes, he say Pesukah de Zimra from Tilim, and then Yesh Mekom Shenogim, that after they say Yishtabach, they say Oz Yashir. eyes, he's mafsik in between Yishtabach and Yitzharor. So he says, Sinish Gefelach, the Rambam says that the Ramakim is where they say Az Yosh.
That's not part of
Tilim. Also not Tilim. It's also not part of Tilim. Okay. And we have already introduced Az Yosh in the middle of Pesukah Zim. Also not from Tilim. Okay. So the Dogma Vava asks on the Magen Avraham, what says Az Gefelach? What is he so upset that it's a hefzik in between Yishtabach and Yotzerar? The Rambam says that Yesh Mekamash in Ogma to say Az Yosher. So what's so terrible if he say a capital Tilim Shir Amalas? So there's a Sefer Emek Brocha that's written by a Talmid Chacham who was born in Brisk. He used to play with Rav Elvala's little children. He was brought up in Brisk. Usually, when Rav Elvala Soloveitchik started giving shiurim in Brisk, so they used to send bochurim from the various yeshivas. So from Radin they sent 2 talmidim, and from Mir they sent 4 talmidim, and from Slabodka they sent a few. And Rav Elvala had a table. There was only room epis for 11 people at the table. So that was it. They made up, they're going to have 11 or 12 talmidim. That's the amount of seats that there were at the table. And they divided among the yeshivas how many talmidim they would send from each yeshiva. So usually they only stayed 1 year by Rav Elvala. Then they went back to their own yeshiva. We learned in the yeshivas that Rabbi Gorelick, when he was in Brisk, was dating a girl who lived in Brisk. And she didn't agree to marry him, so he had special permission to stay a second year. He was lucky, because the girl didn't agree to marry him, so he had permission, so he learned Rav Elvala 2 years. And then after the 2 years were up, he went back to Mir Yeshiva. He went back where he came from. So usually they only learned a year or two, maximum, by Rav Elvala. They picked up the derech and shun, they went back. But this Abarya Pomeranchik, he was born in Brisk. He lived there. He wasn't a guest. He didn't come from the other yeshiva. He's Haros of Eledosa. He lived in Brisk all along. So he heard a lot from Rav Elvala Soloveitchik. So he put out 2 svarim, 1 sefer on Zroim, and 1 sefer on Orachaim. That's called Emek Brocha. So in the sefer Emek Brocha, he comes to answer the kasha of the Nerev Yehuda against the Magen Avraham. What did the Magen Avraham get so excited? Why the Arizal introduced Shir Amalas? What's so bad? The Rambam says you can say Az Yashir in between Yishtabach and Yasar. So what's the difference between Shir Amalas and Az Yashir? So he says there's a big difference. Az Yashir is like Tehillim. Sukkah de Zimmer, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shir Amalas, you're not praising the Rabbanu Shalom. There are different types of Pirkei Tehillim, the 150 Prokim of Tehillim. So many of the Prokim, maybe most of the Prokim of Tehillim, is like Pesukah Dezim, where you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are several Prokim Matilim where you just speak about Ikori HaAmuna. We just speak about what the Ani Mamans are. And then you have a lot of Pirkei Tilim, which are Tfilas and Trinas and Bakoshas. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shira HaMalas Mimamakim. That's a Bakosha, that's not Tehillim. So Oz Yashir is Tehillos Hashem. It's like Pesukah Dezim. But Harai, we introduced it in it, we moved it into the middle of Pesukah Dezim. It's not a hepsik in the middle. But Shir HaMalas, the Magen Avraham holds, doesn't fit in over here. It doesn't belong over here. That's a tchina, it's a bakosha. It's not a tehila at all. So there are those who wanted to maintain the minig of the Arizal to say Shir HaMalas, but they're bothered about the taina of the Magen Avraham, that it's a hepsik. So what they did was, they decided they're going to move up to Shir HaMalas earlier. So those who moved up Shir HaMalas, they say it before Yishtabach. Before Yishtabach. So some had the practice that they say on Shabbos and Yontif Shir HaMalas before Yishtabach. So this is a bigger problem, because the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Vilna Goyen that on Shabbos and Yontif, when you say Nishmas Kol Chai, Nishmas is the beginning of the long bracha that culminates with Yishtabach. So if you're going to say Shir HaMalas after Nishmas before Yishtabach, you're being mafsik in the middle of a bracha. You can't say Az Yosher in the middle of a bracha. You can't say a kapitel tilim in the middle of a bracha. Chayodim writes la'alocha based on the Vilna Gaon. Let's say a person comes late to shul. Once in a while, people do come late to shul. So, the children in Yeshiva Ktana, they're all taught the secret that if you come late to shul, you abridge the Pesukah de Zimra. You say Baruch Shama Ashvein Yishtaba. You can abridge it. So he says, but if you came late to shul on Shabbos, you can't abridge it so much. Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. You have to bridge Baruch Shama Ashrei and Nishmas through Yishtabach. Because the Mishnah in the end of Pesachim refers to Nishmas Kol Chai as the Birchas Hashir. It means on Shabbos and Yontif, The bracha of Yishtabach begins with Nishmas Kol Chayim. The Bechassidish Rebbes, when they would daven for an omer, they would take over from Nishmas. They wouldn't take over from Shechinah. Shechinah is the middle. Shechinah is the middle of a long bracha. How did that develop is a good question. So I think the answer probably is, you look in the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it also, the Rambam writes, Tfilos HaTzibur Ketzad, where does Tfilah B'Tzibur begin? So he says, the Chazan gets up, and he concludes Yishtabach, and he says the Kaddish after Yishtabach. That's the beginning of the Tfilah B'Tzibur. When the Chazan says Kaddish, then he says Baruch, and then you say Birchas Kriyashma all together, that's Tfilah B'Tzibur. The one who says Birchas HaShachar till the end of Yishtabach, he's basically an MC. Just to synchronize, everyone should finish at the same time. And a lot of the yeshivas, they have a Baal Tefila who stands up there. He doesn't even say anything out loud. You don't even know where you're holding. You don't know what he's up to. You don't know whether you're ahead of him or behind him. Then all of a sudden you find out that he's already holding by Yishtabach. But let's say in a lot of shuls, if there are two people who are both Aveilim and they both want to daven for an omer, so they divide it up. So how do they divide it up? So in the Ramah, in the end of Yeridei, it says you divide it up. One should daven until after Tachnun and say the Chatzi Kaddish. The other one should take over for Ashrei of all its in till the end of the Shmones. So thus he's dividing it up. In other shuls, they'll divide it up. One davens for an omer until Yishtabach. The other one takes over. So basically, the first guy was not a Shliach Tzibur. The Sinishkin Shliach Tzibur. The Tefillah B'Tzibur begins. The Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Tefillah B'Tzibur begins from the Kaddish after Yishtabach. So that's probably why in most of the shuls, the one who takes over on Shabbat starts from Shechinat, or you start from HaMelech, because everything before that is Stam.
No, but if it's the beginning of the Bracha of Yishtabach, when is the Bracha?
The Rishonim had that meaning. That on Sholosh Regalim, on Pesach, he start from... Hakel. And on Shavuos, he start from a different line. On Sukkot, he start from a different line. He emphasize another aspect of the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you want to emphasize the theme of Malchus. So you stay out loud, HaMelech. And on each one of the Amitah, you want to emphasize a different aspect of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you bring out the different thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the time to switch the Balei Tefillah. They would have the same one, would be from the beginning, and he would sing out loud this line, or that line, or the other line. The changing is garnished. The guy until then is an MC. He's not a Shliach Tzibur. Okay, so there were tzaddikim who did like that, and the others didn't see a problem. So some wanted to maintain the minig of the Arizal to say Shira Malas, but they were concerned about the taina of the Magen Avraham that it's hefsik, so they decided to move the Shira Malas up to be recited before Yishtabach. So a lot of times they say on Rosh Hashanah. On Shabbos Shuvah, on Yom Kippur, they'll say Shira Malas after Nishmas, before Yishtabach. So that's a bigger hefsek. That's mamash a hefsek in the middle of the bracha. So there are others who realize that that's a bigger problem. So they decided they want to say Shira Malas, but they don't want to have a hefsek. So they moved the Shira Malas before Nishmas, after Rosh Yashir, before Nishmas. So just like you have so many Pirkei Tehillim and Pesukei Dezimra, so you say another kapitel too. So that's exactly what the Emek Bracha Taina is. No, that doesn't fit in. Oz Yashir makes sense to say in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, and it makes sense to say it after Pesukei Dezimra, because it's Pesukei Dezimra. It's not Shirei David Avdecha. It wasn't composed by David HaMelech. So that's why many had the meaning that it doesn't fit in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. Abbas Anish Gefelech is not that terrible. Basically, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Shira Malas, you're not praising the Rabbanu Shalom. You're asking Tchinas HaBakoshes. So that's really a hefsek. If the Magen Avraham holds that it's a hefsek to say it in between Yishtabach and Yotzerah, it's a bigger hefsek to say it in the middle of the Pesukah of the Zimra, because it's not a Zimra at all. So basically, you got to make up your mind whether you want to daven Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Svart. Nusach Svart has the meaning they adopted from the Arizal to have Shira Malis in between. And Nusach Ashkenaz does not have that meaning.
Didn't the Rav move it up earlier also?
The Rav in earlier years moved it up right before Yishtabach. And then when it was brought to his attention that the Chayyadim says that that's the middle of the Bracha, so he moved it up further. And that's what the Emek Bracha Taina said. It's a bigger problem. It's a bigger problem than saying it after Yishtabach. Yeah.
Is that a bigger problem
than
you
mock
before the
Chatzikadish? I don't know. Both are a problem. I don't know which is worse. Minek Svard is to say Shira Malas. Minek Ashkenazi, you don't say Shira Malas.
No, they
say Shira Malas
before the
Chatzikadish. No, Minek Ashkenazi, you don't say Shira Malas at all.
I'm talking about Minek Svard.
Before, yeah. After Kaddish. Apparently, that's the bigger problem. Apparently, that's because the Rambam writes that the Tefillah B'Tzibur starts from the Chatzi Kaddish, then you say Baruch Hu. And that's a bigger hefsek. That's a bigger hefsek, apparently. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rishonim, from the Gaonim, that the practice always was, they quote from Midrashim. The Or Zoruch quotes this from Midrashim, that they claim in the days of the Amoraim, at least, the meaning was everyone went to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. Even women, even single girls, everybody went to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. I remember many years ago, when they started, now it's already angefit, everybody knows, all the boys and all the girls, after they finish high school, they go to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two or three or whatever. When I was growing up, the Medina existed, but this system was not, when we were growing up, this system didn't exist yet. So when they first started this system, and the girls were spending a year in Eretz Yisrael, they started reading the sources, so they saw in the Matei Ephraim that it says even the single girls go to the mikvah of Yom Kippur. So they came to the mikveh on the east side. They want to go to the mikveh. So the mikveh lady in charge of the women's mikveh said she never heard of this thing. So she called up Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. We don't allow single girls to go to the mikveh. Mata Freiman says, Erev Yom Kippur, everybody goes to the mikveh. So Rabbi Moshe said, we don't have that minute. Even though it says Mata Freiman, we don't have that. That was the end of that. Okay. But apparently there was such an old minute. There was a real quote from the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma from the days of the Amoraim. That everybody went to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. And they quote the Rosh in the end of Yuma, quotes from Absad Yigran, everybody goes to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. What is that all about? So on the Shulchan Aruch, they give different explanations. What is this practice based on? So many assume that it's really based on the whole idea of going to mikvah. Erev Yom Kippur is based on Takanas Ezra. The Gemara says that Ezra made a Takana that a Balkari is not permitted to daven, is not permitted to learn. And a woman who's married, who's going to be polet to Shechva Zera, also not permitted to daven, not permitted to learn. So then the Gemara says, in the days of the Tanoim, many centuries later, after Ezra was at the beginning of the Baisheni, and these Tanoim were after the Churban Baisheni, in the days of the Tanoim, after centuries later, they were mevatel Takanas Ezra, based on a pasuk in Novi Halakot Dvoriko Eish Nihum Hashem, that just like Eish is not Mekabel Tuma, so Dibre Torah not Mekabel Tuma, so there's nothing wrong if a Balkari learns Torah. So they did away with Takanas Ezra. So the Shaila is, the Gemara only explains that they did away with Takanas Ezra with respect to learning Torah. What about with respect to Davini? The Pasuk Halakol Dvariko Eish Nihum Hashem Ma Eish Eni Mekabel Tuma Av Dibre Torah Mekabel Tuma is on Dibre Torah. What about Davini? So that's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivim. The Rambam writes that once they did away with Takanas Ezra, it's both with respect to learning and with respect to davening. But he writes, the Rabbanu Shalom will testify, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes, the Rabbanu Shalom will testify that I always go to mikveh before I daven. He was a closet chassid. The Rambam was a real chassid. And he writes it in the Sefer. The Rabbanu Shalom will testify that he always goes to mikveh.
Which Sefer does the Rambam write?
Mishnah Torah. Rambam, Mishnah Torah. So the Kesem Mishnah asks, but if the Rambam holds that there are Mevatel Takanas Ezra, So what is he being machma for? What is he accomplishing here? So he quotes a ritva to answer this. The Kesa Mishnah on the side of the Ram quotes a ritva. He says the takana originally did make sense. When Ezra made the takana, is based on sources in Chumash that it does make sense. Navas, it was exerishen reibat zibi yochalim lamed bo. It was very difficult. So that's why in the later generations they repealed it. So whenever you have a takana that really did make sense, bishaito, and it falls apart later, it's repealed because the people just can't live up to it. It's too difficult. So Hasidim Banshei Maisa should try to observe it because it really should have been observed. So that's why the Rambam writes he was able to keep up. So he writes he personally was always mad. That's how it says in Rambam. The Raibid disagrees. We don't have the Raibid printed on the side of the Rambam. There are many Hasagas of Raibid which are not printed. They found new manuscripts of Hasagas of Raibid with a lot of missing Hasagas, but even with the new manuscripts, there are still more Raibids that are missing. Because you have Shita Mukubetzes, quotes the Raibid, you have other Rishonim quote the Raibid, there are a lot of missing Raibids. So here the Rush quotes the Raibid, the Rush at the end of the second Perek in Brachos quotes the Raibid, disagrees with the Rambam. The Raibid holds that they only abolished Takanas Ezra with respect to learning, they never abolished Takanas Ezra with respect to davening. So that's what the Hasidim are choishish for that. That's why they go to mikvah all the time before they daven to satisfy the Raibid's opinion.
There is a young girl
A girl is single, so she's not. No, they go to mikvah. A single girl is not going to be a poleta shechva zera. We hope. He's not going to be a poleta shechva.
Maybe it's the time of
Vestas then. So that minig that single girls go, that's, we'll get to that. That's based on a different shita. But the first hezbeh that the Rishonim give is that the chumrah that everybody goes to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is that even though all year long we really follow the Rambam's opinion that Takana says it was nizbatlo mikol vakol, not only for learning but for davening as well. But in Aseres Meitshuva, we're machmer, like we have a minig that the Beis Yosef quotes, that we don't eat paspalter in Aseres Meitshuva. So some say the reason why we don't eat paspalter, I think we spoke last night, some say the reason why we don't eat paspalter is because it says in Shulchan Aruch, on Shabbos and Yontav, you shouldn't eat paspalter. The heter that you're not allowed to eat pasakum because it may lead to intermarriage, the Gemara says. So bread was a problem. The Jews were always in business to make money. And apparently bakers don't make so much money. So the Jews were always in business. They wanted to make money. So the Jews never became bakers. So all the bakers were goyim, usually. So what's going to be years ago? Every meal you would eat 6 slices of bread and a little bit of food in addition. Today, people don't eat bread a whole week long. They just eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They eat for the mitzvah, they eat bread. All week long, people don't eat bread. But years ago, in certain countries in the world, ala lechem yichya ha'adam, the lechem is the main course in the meal. So that was a problem. That was a gzeirish and rei batzi b'yichalim lamed boy. You're not allowed to eat pasakum. So how are you going to survive? The Jews were never bakers, and you can't eat pasakum. So the Gemara had a heter. Yeah, no, the Gemara has a heter if it's a palter. If he's a baker, he's baking for the whole community. If it's my next door neighbor, bakes an Italian bread and he shows me all the ingredients and I see everything is kosher and he bakes it in a kosher pan, but he's my next door neighbor, so I may decide to marry his daughter in order to have Eber Gekest. I'll always eat this delicious Italian bread. So then they made Xerah de Rabbanon. You're not allowed to eat pasakum if it's a pas balabayis. If it's a private person baking bread, we're afraid mishum chasnus, it may lead to intermarriage. But if it's a palter, he's baking for the whole neighborhood. He's a
Patakum is maybe not kosher. Patakum maybe not kosher.
Oh, so if it may be not kosher, so you don't need a Xerah de Rabbanon, then you're not allowed to eat it. But if I know all the ingredients are kosher, and I know that he used a brand new baking tin, so everything is kosher, so he's still not allowed to eat the Pasakum because it may lead to intermarriage. So the Gemara has a kula. If it's a pas palter, if he's a baker who bakes for the whole community, so punkta, I'm going to marry his daughter. Mr. Magoy will marry the daughter of the baker. Why should I marry his daughter? So that's the heter of pas palter. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he shouldn't rely on this heter of pas palter. So some achrayim say Shabbos and Yom Tov means for lecha mishneh, You shouldn't use paspalter for lacha mishnah. But to eat Entenmann's cookies is a paspalter. It's a goyisha company. To eat Entenmann's cookie, you're not going to use the cookies for lacha mishnah, so that's not a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, not so. Not only should you not use the paspalter for lacha mishnah, you shouldn't eat an Hashamas Yontav, so period.
You can make a moitzi on Entenmann, on the cakes.
If you eat enough cake, you say a moitzi on the cake. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cake, we pass in the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
That's a very strong svara. The Birki Yosef the Chidoh, who lived in the 1700s, quotes that from Svarda Shachreinim, and he says it's a strong svara, but we don't follow that. We're machmer on that. But Moshe Eppes did paskin a little bit like that. Under certain conditions, he did paskin. But usually it's assumed, even though it's such a strong svara, the Chidoh says we don't accept that svara. Even though, let's say, the one is baking, he lives in Africa. He lives in Asia. I don't even know who he is. I'll never find out who he is. So still we're machmer on that. Even though we don't know who the palter is, we're still machmer that is past palter. On past Akum and Bishon. Yeah. Well, past palter. We're machmer on, yeah. The head, the palter is only on past. Because al alechem yichayodim on bishul akum, there's a machlokes, and we paskin the shulchan aruch, the mechaber paskins that this heta palter, if he's a chef and he cooks for the whole neighborhood, everything is kosher in this restaurant. Everything is kosher. Let's say they have a mashgiach, but everything is bishul akum. So we paskin that the heta palter only applies to bread. Al alechem yichayodim doesn't apply to bishul akum.
So has like the OU who watches. And I don't even know if it's trying to say it's in Mishalaka because maybe they put the fire on, or is it more of a strong hefker saying that the bread was done for a no-yu-hefshin, does that modify the fact that Pas Palter, if the bread that has any hashgacha is Pas Yisrael, it's going to say in big letters Pas Yisrael is going to cost you more money.
If it doesn't say, then Biyodua, that it's not Pas Yisrael. The Kashrus organizations, if they're responsible, like the OU, they won't give a hechsher on cooked vegetables unless there's a good reason why it's not pas. Unless there's a good reason why it's not bishul akum. But on bread, the heter is based on the assumption that pas palter is mutter. So you're not allowed to eat all of those breads on Shabbos and Yontif. Not only for lecha mishnah, Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to eat pas palter all day.
So how about all those vegetables with all those names that are in there? Nothing. They have
the OU
on the
side. So the OU will only give a hechsher on cooked vegetables if there's a good reason why it's not bishul akum. So sometimes the Gemara has different heterim. So there's no iser bishul akum if it's a meichel that will never be served in a royal banquet, in a fancy banquet, some kind of a cheap meichel. Or there's no prohibition of bishul akum if it's nechel kamo shu chai, if the vegetable can be eaten, let's say corn on the cob. Basically, if you take a raw corn on the cob, you can eat it the way it is. It tastes good. Most people don't do that. But it's nechel kamo shu chai. Let's say apples. Apples you can eat. In America, we eat raw apples. In America, we eat raw carrots. In Europe, they didn't eat raw carrots. Only the Bahamas ate raw carrots. In America, we eat raw carrots. So cooked carrots, tzimis, is not a problem.
But we don't eat like raw potatoes. Nobody eats.
Right, raw potatoes you don't. So cooked potatoes is going to be a problem of bishul akum.
But that's not adequate.
Potatoes, usually they serve in weddings. Yeah, they'll serve potatoes in a fancy wedding. Yeah, why not?
Why does laundry detergent need
an OU? Non-food items do not need an OU, but the companies bang down the door of the OU. They want a hechsher because they think that they'll get more business. I don't understand why any company...
Why isn't the OU honest?
They are always honest. They tell them you don't need a hechsher. They tell them right away, you don't need a hechsher. And they insist they want a hechsher. They think they're going to get more business. I don't understand why any company, even a food company in America, bothers to get a hechsher. It costs them a fortune of money. And the Jews are a drop in the bucket. The Orthodox Jews... Okay. So they make more business because the non-Jews are eating. Okay.
No, but what it's telling you basically is there are no non-kosher ingredients
in the detergent. Yeah, the oil won't give a hechsher unless all the ingredients are kosher. But it does need supervision. Detergents are permissible even. It's not also about no. Even
what
if it's
just. What does milk mean? What does that mean? There is some mashkiach that goes out once in a while.
Milk is always fortified with other vitamins. So they're putting in something into the milk. The milk is milk, so there's no problem with the milk. But they fortify it with other things. So sometimes they put in non-kosher ingredients. So usually when they put in non-kosher ingredients, it's going to be batel b'shishim anyway. So that's what the hashgacha means, that they didn't put in any non-kosher ingredients. Sometimes they'll put in chametzdik ingredients. So you need a hechsher that the milk doesn't have a chametzdik ingredient mixed into it. But the milk itself is not, right?
So that's why, even if it's not left in the search menu also? You don't eat
paspalter
in search
meitshuv,
just like on
Shabbos? Yeah, right. So some say that the reason for this meaning not to eat paspalter in aseres meitshuv is because we treat aseres meitshuv as if it's a yontif. Because on Shabbos a yontif, not only for lechem mishnah purposes, they not use paspalter all day long. You're not supposed to eat Entenmann's cookies. And a lot of the groups, they don't know that. So they serve the kids Entenmann's cookies. It's kosher, but not for Shabbos and Yontif. You're not supposed to eat paspalter on Shabbos and Yontif.
Why should Shabbos?
I don't know. As I state in Shulchan Aruch, that Shabbos and Yontif, you shouldn't rely on the heter of paspalter. So some explain that Aseres and Meitshuva is considered in a certain sense a Yontif. Why? Because the Gemara has a tradition on the Pasuk in Novi, Dirsha Hashem Behi Matzo. You should search out the Ribbono Shel Olam at that season of the year when he's more available, when he's more accessible. So when is that Behi Matzo? The Gemara says that's Aseres Meitshuva. So you see, the Tanakh tells us Aseres Meitshuva is a special season of the year. In a certain sense, it's like a Yontif. It's not also B'Malacha, but in a certain sense, like a Yontif. So just like on Shabbos and Yontif, the minig is that you don't eat paspalter, so that's why Aseres Meitshuva you don't eat. But usually it's assumed that that's not the reason why. Usually it's assumed that Aseres Meitshuva, we're machmer on things, even on Mikra Din Amutter, we're machmer on things. For example, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Ashayle, you want to put up a cholent, an erev Yom Kippur, that you should cook the whole day Yom Kippur, so after you daven on Matzah Yom Kippur, you'll have a delicious meal already. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Shomim, that you shouldn't do that. What's wrong? What's the issa to put up a cholent? So the Mishnah Berurah says, we're machmer on things, even though strictly speaking, they're mutter. You're machmer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what the Rishonim say, that the reason, many Rishonim say, the reason why the minig was an old minig from the days of the Gemara, from the days of the Medrash Tanchuma. The reason why people would go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is because Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, is because we machmer on things and Aseres Meitshuva no mikra din is mutter. And here there is a machlek as the Rambam and the Ravid, and the Ravid holds that a balkeri or a woman who's a polet, the shichva zera, is not allowed to daven. They only repeal takana zera vis-a-vis learning Torah. But as far as davening is concerned, a balkeri is not allowed to daven. So Aseres Meitshuva b'choshish for the Ravid. So we're machmer that everyone should go to mikvah. That's one explanation. But that explanation, that should apply the whole Aseres Meitshuva. Basepis on davkan erev Yom Kippur. And Shulchan Aruch says only erev Yom Kippur. The Rav Sadi Gaon, quoted by the Rosh, says erev Yom Kippur everybody goes. And the Medrash Tanchuma also says erev Yom Kippur. They don't talk about all Aseres Meitshuva.
I'm sorry.
There are a few issues with the machmer. Right, right. Right. So the Mechaber presents the sheet of the Sfardim, They only permit paspalter when pas Yisrael is not easily available. And the Ramo presents the practice of the Ashkenazim. We rely on the heter paspalter, even pas Yisrael is available. The Shach lived in Vilna, and he was an Ashkenazi. He was not a Sephardi. The Shach was always an Ashkenazi, born and bred by Ashkenazim. So the Shach recommends you should be choshish for the mechabeshita here, that all year long you shouldn't eat pas palter unless pas Yisrael is not available. A lot of times in New York City, pas Yisrael is available. It costs another nickel. Pas Yisrael is available. So most Ashkenazim rely on their amor. In Bishalakim, there are other machlokes and also where the Ashkenazim are mekel and the Sfardim are machmer. Yes.
Because the Sfardim, we hold that you have to light the Jew has to light the fire, but the Sfardim has a
Bishulakim. The Gemara says regarding Pasakum, that if the Jew lights the furnace, he lit the fire, and the goy needs the bread and he bakes the bread, the fact that the Jew lit the fire is enough to remove the issue of Pasakum. So the Ramah paskens for Ashkenazim that's true also b'negiah to Bishulakim. If the Jew lit the fire and then the goy cooks on top of the fire, so that takes off Bishulakim. And the Sfardim do not accept that. Sfardim are machmer that the cooking has to be done by the Jew, not just lighting the fire. Right. So
that,
this.
That's the lighting is already. If you put the light to cook the food, it's already acid.
If a Jew lights the fire, lights the fire by baking bread, then the Gemara says Shkira Satanur. If a Jew lit the fire,
the action to cook,
right? But the Gemara only has it by pas, and the Rishonim had a machlekes. What about Bishulakim? What about other macholim? So the Ramah is mekel for Ashkenazim, the Mechaber is machma for Sfardim. That it's not enough if a Jew lights the fire; the actual putting the food on top of the fire has to be done by a Jew, right? It's a big problem. How does Sfardim meet in a hotel? That's a big problem. All the hotels. Yes. All kosher restaurants in America have the problem. All yeshivas. Why you? All yeshivas. All the cooking in most yeshivas is done by non-Jews. All the cooking is done by non-Jews. So they always see to it that a Jew turns on the fire. In Eretz Yisrael, in Baltimore, for years, the cooking is always done by non-Jew. So they always have one of the boys from the high school go turn on the fire. So for years, a couple of years, they had one of the boys turn on the fire. Then when he was in the third year high school, he found out that he wasn't Jewish. But he didn't tell anybody. And he went in every day to light the fire in the kitchen, to take off the bishulakim. He was a goy. And then he had another year and a half to go till he finished high school. After he finished high school, he got his degree. Then he told everybody he's not Jewish. And he stopped observing mitzvahs. He came back to the yeshiva for Yom Kippur. He liked the davening at Yom Kippur, but he wasn't Jewish. All yeshivas like that. All the cooks, most of the yeshivas, all the cooks are not Jewish. And they have a Jew light the fire to take off the bishulakim. So if it's for Sfardim, you have a problem. That's not acceptable for them. So again, if the reason why people had the minhag to go to Mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur is because it choshish for this opinion that the Takanas Ezra still applies with respect to davening, and Aseres Mei Tshuva were machmar things that are questionable, so it should have been all Aseres Mei Tshuva, should have been Rosh Hashanah also, but Sef is only on Erev Yom Kippur. That's why in Shulchan Aruch they have another explanation that only applies to Erev Yom Kippur. We have a din by a gersh and his guy, or a non-Jew who wants to convert, so whether he's a man or a woman, they have to go to mikveh. And Maimon HaSinai, the Gemara says, our forefathers all went to mikveh. Where does it say that in Chumash is a question? So the Gemara explains, where does it say? It says the married people had to go to mikveh. There shouldn't be Balkeri or Palet or Shechmazer. Where does it say that the single people went to mikveh? So the Gemara explains where it says it, in Parshas Yisro. So just like a ger habola his gayer, he wants to enter into the Kriyas Bris with the Rabban Shalom, has to go to mikveh. So an Erev Yom Kippur, a person wants to do tshuva, he violated the Bris, a Balavera violated the covenant with the Rabbani Shalom. So Baal Tshuva is in a certain sense like a ger, habola his gayer. So a ger bola his gayer has to go to the mikveh. That's what many say. That's the reason why in Erev Yom Kippur everybody goes to mikveh, even the single girls. Yeah, well, everybody, we all had Mila. We don't have to repeat the Mila. But since we violated the bris with the Rabbani Shel Olam, so we want to be Megayer again, we want to enter the bris again, so we go to the mikvah. The Rosh, in the end of Maseches Yuma, quotes Rav Sadia Goen, that he says, when you go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you recite a bracha, Shekinishana b'mitzvah v'tzivano ala tefillah. So if the word of going to the mikveh, the Rosh says he thinks a bracha lematol. He's saying you shouldn't do that. The common practice is we don't say a bracha when you go to mikveh every Yom Kippur. So if the idea behind going to mikveh is you want to be machma for the shitas arayved, that a Baal Keri is not allowed to daven, aseres to make shuvi, do all kinds of chumras, so it does make sense to say a bracha ala tefillah. And if it's because it's like a ger, it's a psalmoshel, a dimya, and a Baal Tshuva is like a ger, you don't say a bracha because of a dimya, because of an agaric dimya. So it must be some halacha here. So what did the Rav Sadia Goen think? That it's a mitzvah? What kind of a mitzvah is it? So the Rosh understood, or misunderstood, whatever, the Rosh interpreted the Rav Sadia Goen that the reason why he thinks you have to go to mikveh, because the Gemara learns that from, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns that from a pasuk, chayav adam latar atzmo beregel. You have to go to mikveh for the Yom Tovim. So the Rav Sadia Goen apparently understood that Chai Baram Taratz Mabaregel doesn't only apply to the Sholosh Regalim, it applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. So the Rosh Taina is, what is he talking about? Chai Baram Taratz Mabaregel is only Bizman Sheh Beis Hamikdash HaYakayam. And you have to be Oyla Regal on Sholosh Regalim. You have to walk into the Azara. You have to bring Karbonis. How does it apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? There's no aliyah leregel. How does that apply? Bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva where he raises Shagas Aryeh is a shadus of tshuvas. Nobody ever asked him these shaymas. He wrote essays. He calls it shadus tshuvas. He has a tshuva. What's the sozman kriyashma? Nobody asked him on shaylo when. So he has a tshuva. Is there a din in chayav adam taratzma beregel bizman hazeh? So he says no. He holds like the Rosh. It's a quote from the Rambam. It's a function of Aliyah LaRegel. You have to be able to enter the Azara. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyav Aliyah LaRegel. And Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kaim, even on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis, there's no Aliyah LaRegel. So the whole mitzvah doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. But apparently, the Rosh understood in Rav Sadia Goen that Chayav Adam Taratzma Beregel is not because of the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. It's that in order to absorb the Kedusha Sayyim of a Yom Tov, a person has to be in the state of Tahara. That's how some of the Mekubalim say, that Shabbos, the Kedusha Sayyim, is so powerful, it's so overbearing, that even if you're in a state of Tumah, you don't have to go to Mikvah on Erev Shabbos. The Kedusha Sayyim of Shabbos is so powerful, it'll have an effect on you even if you didn't go to Mikvah. But Yom Tov has a lesser Kedusha Sayyim. So Chayvodam Taratzma Beregel is not only Bizman Shah Beis Hamikdash Kaim because it's a Chelik of Aliyah LeRegel. You have to enter the Azara. In order to be able to absorb the Kedusha Sayyim of Yom Tov, a person has to be in a state of Tahar. So that's how the Rosh interpreted the Rav Sadia Goen, that it even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Maybe Yom Kippur should call the Shabbos.
Kedusha of Shabbos, yeah. But what about the Kedusha of Yom Kippur? What about the Kedusha of Yom Kippur? Yeah. So others say that that's not what Rav Sadia Goen said. The Aruch HaShulchan and others say that they have the impression Rav Sadia Goen thought that it's not based on Chayav Adam Taratzma Beregel. He would be masking with the Rosh and the Shagas Aryeh. Chayav Adam Taratzma Beregel is only on Sholosh Regalim and only Bizman Shah Beis Hamikdash HaYikayim. And Rav Sadia Goen only said on Erev Yom Kippur. In the Midrashim, the Medrash Tanchuma that the Ozarua quotes, everybody goes to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. It's only Erev Yom Kippur. It's not by all the Yamutov. And it's based on a Pasuk, and he holds that it's a Din Deraisa. The Pasuk says, Ki bayoy mazei chaprechem tareschem mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem titoru. So apparently Rav Sadia Goen understood the Pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Tetoru, as you're about to enter into the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, everyone should go to the mikveh, Tetoru, everyone should go to the mikveh to be mitar themselves. So that's why he writes that you say a bracha. He understood that this is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. And Rav Saadia Gaon wrote a whole poem that has listed off all the Taryag mitzvahs. Yeah, right. The Rishonim wrote a lot of Asaras. In the days of the Rishonim, they used to recite Piyutim on Shavuos. In the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, sometimes not during Kriyas HaTorah, they would recite Piyutim, it would take forever. They would list off all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Some recited Taryag mitzvahs in the order of the Asaras HaDibros, dividing the mitzvahs that belong under the first, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and LaYilucha. They would recite those mitzvahs that belong to those, each one of the Asaras HaDibros, and others would recite Piyutim, that just list off the Taryag mitzvahs. So Rav Saadia Gaon has a poem that's a couple of not so long, a poem that lists off all of the Taryag mitzvahs. So there are three fat volumes of the commentary of Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo. He was a businessman in Europe before the Second World War. He was a very learned businessman, so he took this poem of Rav Saadia Gaon and he broke it up into half lines, and for every half line of the poem he has 20 pages, and he explains what is the mitzvah, where does the mitzvah come from, and who agrees and who disagrees. So he has three fat volumes. The whole poem of Rav Saadia Gaon is in Gansan 2-3 pages long, but his set is three fat volumes, the sizes of Bava Basra's. Big three fat volumes. Where he also thinks like the Aruch HaShulchan. The Rav Saadia Gaon thinks a special mitzvah min HaTorah to be tovel in a mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, lefnei Hashem to Torah. According to that understanding, so it should taka be a kosher mikvah. According to the way people usually assume, that Yechoshish for Takona Sezra with respect to davening, and even though all year long we're mekel, but on Seres Meitshuva we're machmer. So the Gemara says in Brochus that for the purpose of Takona Sezra, that a Balkeri shouldn't learn, shouldn't daven, it would be sufficient if you have a puzzle and mikveh. Maim Shuvim would also be good. The Chassidim have a mikveh that's not good for women to be tovel, it's only good for men. For Takona Sezra purposes, the Gemara says Maim Shuvim is okay. So many people have the practice that on Erev Yom Kippur they go to a menos mikveh, they don't go to a real kosher mikveh. But according to the way the Achrayim understood Rav Saadia Gaon, that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah, even according to the Rosh, who understood Rav Saadia Gaon that it's based on Chai Vodam and Tar Atzma Baregel, so he also understands that it's a din deraisa, and you sing a brocha, it's a brichas ha-mitzvah, mamash ha-mitzvah deraisa. So that's why many are more makbid and Erev Yom Kippur that it should be a kosher and mikveh.
Before you have the tatzos there, it should be as close to the Kedushas HaYov as possible.
Lefnei Hashem to Torah. Yeah.
Do you not have to say a bracha?
We don't say the bracha. No, we don't follow that. No. The Chayodam writes a funny line: you shouldn't go to mikveh prior to an hour before chatzos. So where did that come from? An hour before after Chatzos, we understand. You don't say Tachnun. Okay, so Yontav is on its way. What's so an hour before?
This is not the Tzura Shorosh Hashem and Kippur Metah, but Zman Metaharim. They met the Tzura alone. If I tell him was written, they Metaharim Metadam also.
Okay, but still the mikveh is a separate thing. The Tzvilas are Metahir all in one way. The mikveh is matayra in a different way. Okay. So that's a question. Where did the Chayodim get this einfall? An hour before Chatzos. Shouldn't go to mikveh before an hour before Chatzos. So it's interesting. Rav Moshe Sternbuch wrote in one of his earliest svarim that he heard from a mekubal. I never heard of the name, so it never registered. He tells you the name. That the Chayodim lived in Vilna. He was a businessman, then he became a dayan in Vilna. And Vilna is one hour to the west of Yerushalayim, the 24 time zones. So he writes that this Mekubal thought that the Chayodah meant to say you shouldn't go to mikveh before it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim. Before it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim. Why? Because the Rishonim say in Maseches Roshan and Daf Chav that where's the international dateline? Everybody understands when you keep on going to the east, so Shabbos is earlier. In Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos starts 7 hours earlier. An hour to the east of Eretz Yisrael is an hour earlier. So in California, it's going to be earlier. No, California is 3 hours later than New York. So where do you stop? Where do you say you keep on going east earlier? And where do you say you keep on going west later? So you have to have some international dateline. So the Chazanish has a whole essay about this. So he thinks that the globe, he quotes the Rishonim, that the earth is a globe, and the globe has two hemispheres. We often divide upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere. But here, for these purposes, it has an eastern hemisphere, western hemisphere. And eastern western is not based on the politics of America as opposed to Russia, whatever. It's rather the one hemisphere has Yerushalayim in the center of the hemisphere. And that hemisphere ends 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim and 6 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. So when it's noon, when it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon in Yerushalayim, so it's already Yom Kippur in one place in the world. The first place in the world is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, so it's already Yom Kippur somewhere. So in Vilna, because Vilna was approximately an hour to the west of Yerushalayim, so the Chayyadim writes for Vilna, not for all over the world. Chayyadim writes for Vilna that you shouldn't go to mikveh prior to an hour before Chatzos. And now before Chatzos, it's already Yom Kippur all the way in Korea. The dateline cuts through Korea. So there's a place in the world that it's already Yom Kippur, so as long as Yom Kippur is somewhere. So Rav Sternbach writes, Oy Bazoi, so in New York you can go to mikveh 7 hours before Chatzos, because New York is 7 hours behind Yerushalayim.
Now it's 6 hours.
Yeah. And California can go 10 hours before. So that's a question. Is that what the Chayyadim meant? So he quotes a Mekubal claim that that's what the Chayyadim meant. And others usually assume he didn't mean that. They usually assume the Chayyadim says, Somach le Yom Kippur, Somach le Rosh Hashanah, and you shouldn't go an hour before Chatzos. A few years ago, Professor Almond was awarded the Nobel Award. So they had him speak all over the world. So they had him speak on YU all day long. He had him speak 15 times till Imamish, when he gave the public lecture at night, he almost fell on his face. He almost fell asleep in the middle of the talk because he met with so many people he spoke. So in the morning, he met with the Rebbes. So he was telling us why he fell in love with Rabbi Gusner. Why that was his famous Rebbe. Rabbi Gusner in Yerushalayim.
Was it quite nice?
Right. No, but he says he met him in Yerushalayim. Right. So he told different stories. So one of the stories, what the real reason why he fell in love with him, he finally said at the end, was that Professor Almond lost a son in the Yom Kippur War. He was in the army, and he was killed in the army. So he said when he was sitting Shiva, Rav Gusman knew him because he used to go to his weekly shiur. So he came to me, Menachem Oval. So he sat down next to him on the floor, and he said that when he was running away from the Nazis, he lost a young child, and he wasn't able to sit Shiva. They were running away from the Nazis. He couldn't sit Shiva. So he said, he wants to sit Shiva next to you. Lost his son. I lost his son. Maybe they're learning together in Gan Eden. So that's probably the real reason why he felt so close to him. But he told other stories. So one of the stories, Alman was a Yeke. So one of the stories he told was that son who was killed in the Yom Kippur War in the army, that son learned in Shalavim, because Professor Alman is a brother-in-law of Meir Schlesinger, who founded the yeshiva in Shalavim. So his son first learned in Shalavim. And then later he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he said, after he learned the Mir Yeshiva, so on Erev Yom Kippur, his son, who was still single at that time, he was leaving the house with a towel to go to mikveh. So the father said to him, where are you going? So he said, he's going to the mikveh. So the father said, we don't have that many. So he said, but everybody goes to mikveh. So the father said, we don't have that many. So he said, but all the boys in yeshiva. He said, but we don't have that many. He kept on repeating, we don't have that many. He kept on repeating, and the son said, but everybody's going to, said, we don't have that many. So finally the father said, go ask Rav Gusman, what does he say? So he said, whatever he says is going to follow. So he went and he asked Rav Gusman, should he go to the mikveh? So he said, everybody goes to the mikveh. What kind of a question? What are you asking? So he says, but my father said, we don't have that many. So he said, what do you mean? Your father's father, your grandfather didn't go to an Erev Yom Kippur? So he said, yeah. So he said, then you shouldn't go either. Shema b'nei Musar Avicha, v'al titosh tarasimech. So Professor Almond liked him because of that. The yekas be don't change the minhogim. So since Rabbi Guzman stuck up for his minig, so he said that's his rabbi. He liked him. Then he told other stories like that also. Rabbi Guzman didn't have a chadar ochel for the bachrim in the yeshiva. The married boys ate with their wives, and the single boys fleg nes and teg. So Rabbi Guzman himself had a whole list of balabatim, and he would match up which boch is going to eat by which balabas. So one Friday night, one of the boys was supposed to eat by Professor Alman. So he didn't. Professor Alman didn't daven in the yeshiva that Shabbos. He davened by the balabatim. And he's waiting, and the bocher didn't show up. So he didn't know what happened. So he's waiting, and he made kiddush, and he said to his wife, if the bocher shows up, we'll give him wine, and we'll give him chalas to eat. He didn't show up. So the next morning, Dr. Alman came davened in the yeshiva, by Rav Guzman's yeshiva, and he said, you know, last night the bocher didn't show up. Is there some mistake? So Rav Guzman told him, sure there was a mistake, and he tells him what happened. Rav Guzman used to live upstairs from the Beis Medrash. So he says after he benched on Friday night, he went down to the Beis Medrash and he sees a bocher sitting and learning by the shtender and nibbling on his food. So he walked over to him and he said, Gevalt, I didn't set you up to eat by balabos. What happened? Why are you eating here? He says, no, you set me up to eat by Yalman. So why don't you go? I don't know if he saw Nizar on Trumas Hamaisis. So he said, you don't know? I told you to eat by the bell. You don't know? After Shabbos, you pack your bags and you leave my yeshiva. You don't rely on me. I told you can eat by Amsa. He liked that also. He liked this Rabbi Guzman. Then other stories also. He was telling a lot of stories. Why? He asked him about lifting things. Someone else has a program on a computer. Am I allowed to copy someone else's program on a computer? So he asked Rav Guzman. So Rav Guzman said, ask my son-in-law. He's an American. He knows these things. So he said, no, I want to ask you. So he said, okay, I'll think about it. Come back next week. So next week he came back, he asked him again. So he said, why don't you ask my son-in-law? He knows better. So he said, no, I want to ask you. So he said, okay. He comes back the next week. So he says, what's the din? So he says, you sure you don't want to ask my son-in-law? He says, no, I want to know from you. He says, absolutely awesome. It's absolutely, he knew from day number one. He didn't want to tell him no. So he liked all of the answers that he gave. He liked all the answers. Anyway, that's the story about going to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur.
They say if you have to come out of the Kahanim, you have to go specially to the Mikvah.
Kohanim should go more so to the Mikvah. Why? I'm not familiar. There was such a minig that the Kohanim would go to Mikvah before they were duchen. The Rishonim have such a minig. That's why there was an old minig that when Yontif, some people still have a new minig, that when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, the Kohanim don't duchen, because Zonis Tamachochon is Melel Shabbos, Melel Shabbos, he probably didn't go to the Mikvah. And they had a minig that a Balkari doesn't duchen. That's why many communities had a minig that even though Yontav Shechali is B'Shabbos, you don't duchen because he's probably a Balkari. But Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Shabbos, he can't be a Balkari. It's also B'Tash Mishamitos. And many communities had the minig, Yontav Shechali is B'Shabbos, they don't duchen, but Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Shabbos, they do duchen. But we don't have that whole minig. We don't have the minig that the Kohanim have to go to Mikvah before they duchen. The Balkari duchens also. We have an old minig from the days of the Goyim that you recite Kol Nidre on Erev Yom Kippur. So the old nusach of Kol Nidre always used to be that you mata the nedarim that were taken Yom Kippur Shavar and Yom Kippur Hazeh. And then Taisus quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Tam's father, Rabbeinu Meir, who was the son-in-law of Rashi, that they changed the nusach that it's not Hatoras and Darim L'Shavar, the nedarim that I took in the course of the past year, it's rather a mesiris maido ala habo. Any nedarim that I'll take, miyam kippurim zed, yam kippurim habo leinu l'tayva bezibra yor, I declare now that it shouldn't be binding, and this is based on the Gemara and nedarim. The Gemara says such an idea that if a person makes such a mesiris maido in advance, so sometimes the nedarim are not binding. So the question is, according to the, if you say It's based on the Gemara and the Dharma. So the Gemara says a person should get up in the beginning of the year and make such a declaration. So Yom Kippur is towards the beginning of the year. So that's why you make this declaration. But if you say that it's a Hataras and Dorim, so what did the institute Hataras and Dorim punkt on Erev Yom Kippur? What's the connection over here? So the Belt usually says the following explanation. That the Gemara says that when a Chacham is Mata Neder, Chacham is Oikar a Neder Meikoroi. It's not just that there was a Neder up until today, and I make Hataras and Dorim, so Mikanal Habod is no longer a Neder. No, the Gemara says in Ksubis and in the Dorim and in Nozir, when the Chacham declares mutalach, 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 because the Neder was a Neder b'toyes, it comes out the Neder was never binding in the first place. And even if I violated the Neder, I took a Neder not to eat potato chips, and they warned me, you're going to eat the potato chips, we're going to give you Malkus, and I'm Chayiv Malkus. If I go to a Bezdin, Bezdin will be Mata Neder, it'll turn out I never did the Avera, and I'm not going to get the Malkus, because the Chacham Oikar a Neder meikore. The husband or the father is Mefa Nedorim, so the Gemara says, Hafor is only Mikan al Haba. But the Chacham is Oikar Neder Meikor. So that's what the Velt says, that's what it says in the Zohar. In the Hasidish Machzorim, you have the passage from the Zohar printed right before Kol Nidre, that makes a comparison, that just like Hathoros and Dorim can be Oikar Neder Meikoroi, so when a person does tshuva, the Averis that he did B'mezid are undone Meikoroi. It's done in Snasan Lo Kishkogois, and sometimes done to Asan Lo Kizchuyas. It's Oike de Avera Meikoroi, as if he never did an Aver. So that's what usually is assumed to be the explanation why the Gaonim instituted, this is from the days of the Gaonim, the Kol Nidre, why they instituted the Kol Nidre right before you're about to enter into Yom Kippur. Rav Soloveitchik once suggested an additional idea. That the essence of the uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that there's a special Hashras HaShchina with us. The Shchina is with us on Yom Kippur. That's why the minig is that we blow shofar on Matzoh Yom Kippur. So there are different explanations are given. So Tosis says one of the Tosis gives three explanations for Tkiyah Shofar. It's a minig. Tkiyah Shofar on Matzoh Yom Kippur. So one of the explanations is that it says that Har Sinai b'mshech mikaren hayayvel hema yala bahar. When they'll hear the Tkiyah Shofar, that's a siman l'siluk shchina, and then everybody's allowed to climb up on Har Sinai. They weren't allowed to climb up on Har Sinai because man the shchina was there. When they'll hear the blast of the shofar, that's a siman l'siluk shchina. So as Yom Kippur comes to an end, so the shchina goes back to the heavens, so we blow shofar as a siman l'siluk shchina. And Tosis says that's the reason why we have a minhag to recite Hashem Hu Elokim seven times, because the Gemara says that there are seven heavens, based on Psukim in Tanakh. So the Shechina goes back, the Shechina is with us on Yom Kippur, goes back to the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, and we say seven times Hashem Elohim, there's only one God, Hashem Echad, but he goes back to the seventh heaven, and the Shechina disappears. So if you want to bring in Yom Kippur, if you want to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur, so how do you do that? By bringing the Shechina down. So how can you schlep the Shechina? How can we force the Shechina to come earlier? The Shechina is going to come, the Ribbono Shel Olam promised that he's going to come on Yom Kippur. How can we force the Shechina to come earlier than Yom Kippur? So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Elokim Nitzav Vadas Kel. When you have a Bezdin, so the Ribbono Shel Olam promises that he'll always come to help the Bezdin, that they shouldn't make a mistake. So we should convene a Bezdin on Erev Yom Kippur, and we'll force the Shechina to come down. So what kind of a Bezdin are we going to convene? So let's have a Din Torah. We'll have a Bezdin. And he'll start screaming. He insulted me and he owes me money, and the other one's going to scream. I've been in terror. They're always cursing each other. They're cursing the Rabbanim. Everybody's cursing. So das pastin shver Yom Kippur. So we convene a mild bezin for Hataras and Dorm. So the Rav was assuming, Rav Soloveitchik was assuming, a bezin for Hataras and Dorm. Also the Kim Nitzal Badas Kel. The Shechina is going to come. So the reason why we make Hataras and Dorm is to force the Shechina to come earlier than Bein Hashmashes. Because the Kol Nidre is supposed to be Mabod Yom before Ben Hashmashes, and that's the way you usher in the special uniqueness of the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur, that you have the special Hashras Hashim. There were other suggestions made also why, but this is Rav Soloveitchik made such a suggestion. Maybe that's the reason why Kol Nidre was introduced, to usher in the Kedushas HaYom by bringing the Shechina down. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a Me'iri Amasecha Shabbos, he makes the following comment. In the end of Masecha Shabbos, the Gemara said, the Rambam writes, in the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos, there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos. Two mitzvahs in the Chumash, and two mitzvahs in the Navi Yishayim, and Medivri Kabbalah. Medivri Kabbalah means Navi Maksuvim. So the two mitzvahs in the Chumash are Zocha v'Shomer. Shomer means Hashem Shabbos, doesn't do Malacha. Aloy Sese, Shomer is Aloy Sese. And Zocher is to recite Kiddush. Lahaskir. Lahaskir Kiddush Zayam, to mention Kiddush Zayam. And Kibbut V'yoynig are the two mitzvahs Medivri Kabbalah in the Navi Yishayim. So the Pasuk says, because of the Shabbos Oneg, the Kedosh Hashem Mechubot. So what's Kibbut and what's Oneg? What's the difference between Kibbut and Oneg? So it's a little bit unclear. So the Vilna Goyen writes in Hilchas Yontif, Nebir Agron Hilchas Yontif, on Shulchan Aruch, he writes that Oneg is the pleasure that you enjoy on Shabbos. You enjoy the delicious food. You enjoy the fact that the table is set nicely. You enjoy the fact that you're wearing some beautiful clothes, and yeah, you're clean, you took a shower. And kibud refers to all the hachonis that you do in advance. When you take the shower, when you vacuum the rug, when you set the table, when you put on big day Shabbos, when you put up the challen, that's kibud. And einig is when you enjoy all of these things on Shabbos, on Yontif. So the Rambam writes that kibud v'einig applies both to Shabbos and to Yontif. So the Gemara has a comment, the karasa the Shabbos einig, the Kedosh Hashem Mechubed Zeh Yom HaKippurim Shem Balo Achila Balo Shtiya. You can't eat any food, so there isn't any oneg. You don't eat any food. Tashem Shamita Zasa, so you don't have that oneg. So you have kibud. So it says the Kedosh Hashem Mechubed Zeh Yom HaKippurim Shem Balo Achila Balo Shtiya. So it says Kabdehu B'Ksus Nekiya. The way to be Mechabed Yom Kippur is by having Ksus Nekiya. So the Meiri comments that since there's hardly any oneg, there's oneg, we have nice begodim, but you don't have the oneg, achilus, di, and the rest, so that's why you have to double up on the kibud. So that's why the Miri writes, that's why there's a minute to wear a talus all day long, because Rabbi Yechon and the Gemara say, Rabbi Yechon, korin l'mani mechabdusa, Rabbi Yechon used to refer to the clothing that he wore, all week long, as mechabdusa, gives a person self-respect, gives him self-dignity, when he wears nice clothes. So that's why on Shabbos, included in kibud, is that you should wear big day Shabbos. So on Yom Kippur, you should wear fancier bigodim that you wear on a regular Shabbos and a regular Yontif. So the Miri writes that that's why the minig is, we don't wear a talus by Laila, we don't wear a talus by Mincha Ma'ariv, you don't wear a talus Shachris and Musav, that's all. Yom Kippur, we wear the talus, we put on the talus before Yom Kippur begins, you wear all night long, then you wear all day long. That's because on Yom Kippur, the Miri writes, there's no oneg, so you should double up the kibud. That's why many have a minig that they only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. They don't wear a kittel. Somehow, many have a minig you wear a kittel Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, l'kavod yomim na'arayim. And others have a minig only on Yom Kippur. This is part of the din of big day Yom Kippur, that you should have special begodim for Yom Kippur, more so than a regular Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
To be tahor.
Yeah, okay. The bitar. Bizman hazeh, we lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur morning, in between Shachris and Musa. So we lay in Parsha Sachar Emos all about the Korbanos. So the Gemara says that's a fulfillment of the din when Hashem Meforim Svaseinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu he's giving him Eretz Yisrael. So Avram Avinu asked the Rabbanu Shalom, Bamo Eda Ki Rashenu, what special mitzvah should I be careful that I should know that my descendants will be entitled to have Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kol Yegnu Mishaleshes Vayam Mishulash V'Sav V'Goyzol, means B'Shus HaKorbonis. That's how the Gemara understands that parsha. Then Avraham, that's all it says in the Chumash. Then the Gemara continues the conversation, the last daf in Megillah. The Gemara says, Avraham Avin asked, Tenech B'Zman She Beis HaMikdash Kayim, B'Zman She'in Beis HaMikdash Kayim. In 1948, when the Jews took over Eretz Yisrael, so we're not bringing any korbanos. Abamo Eda Kirashenu. What chus do we have that we have a right to balabatav over Eretz Yisrael? Rabbanu Shalom says it has to be in the chus of akrobus akorbanos. So the Rabbanu Shalom answers Avraham Avinu, when the Shalma forms so saying, let the Jewish people recite the parshas akorbanos. Amala ani aleim kilu hikrivam. I will consider it as if they actually brought the korbanos. So that's on every Yontif, we lay from two Sifrei Torah. So the second Sefer Torah, we always lay in the Musafim. We daven Tfilos on Musafim. And on Yom Kippur, you lay in from Achrei Mois, and we'd say the Seyda Avayla in the middle of Musaf, and the Chazaras HaShatz. So that's in fulfillment of the din of an Neshama form Soseinu. But Bizman Shebeis HaMikdush HaYekayam, they brought the Karbonos. So that what do they have to say in Neshama form Soseinu for? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that even Bizman HaMikdush, there was a din deraisa that the Kain Gadol, the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur was a din deraisa. The Kain Gadol, in conjunction with the Hakrobas HaKarbonos, Kain Gadol has a din deraisa, he has to say the Parsha. The Gemara says there were another two occasions when you do a paraduma. On the occasion of burning and shechting and burning a paraduma, part of the ceremony is you have to recite the parsha of Chukas, that paraduma. And in the Shivas Imei Miluim, the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar, when they completed the building of the Mishkan, so part of the Miluim was to recite the parshas of Miluim. The Gemara in the beginning of Yom Hafei has these three din of every year on Yom Kippur, in conjunction with the Akrobus, Akrobonus, the Kain Gadol, it was a one-man show. There was only one Aliyah. He got the whole Aliyah, and he said all the brachas. And that's a din deraisa. And when you make a paraduma, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, Parshas Paras deraisa. So they all break their head. The Vilna Gaon says, where's Parshas Paras deraisa? Where does that come from? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, when you make a paraduma, then Parshas Paras deraisa. Doesn't mean every year Parshas Paras deraisa. When you happen to be shechting and burning a paraduma, so part of the ceremony of preparing a paraduma is to recite the parsha. That's in the Gemara. And the Shivas Me'am Eloim, those are the three times that the Gemara has such a din. Yeah, Hakel is not in conjunction with any Hakel is a mitzvah menater. Yeah. Here is a din in conjunction with this korban, conjunction with the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur, in conjunction with the Shivas Me'am Eloim Karbonis, and in conjunction with the Paradum, is also like a Korban Chatos, you have to recite the Parshas. So in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mishnah says, Perik Bolo Kain Gadol, next to the last Perik in Maseches Yuma, says, Kain Gadol does all the Avodas, and then he gives the Sar HaMishtalech to the Ish Iti, and the Ish Iti takes it for long, it takes forever. He goes 11 mil away, and he's not riding on a truck. He's walking with the Sarim Mishtalech. He has to walk 11 mil. You walk 1 mil, it takes 18, 20, 24 minutes. It takes a while. So it's going to take a couple of hours. Till he's going to take the Sarim Mishtalech to the cliff and push him over the cliff. But the Mishnah says, when the Kain Gadol sends the Sarim Mishtalech with the Ishiti, he has to wait in the Azara and twiddle his thumbs. He's not allowed to sit down in the Azara. He's not allowed to leave the Azara. So he has to stand for an hour till he knows that the Ish Iti reached Tchilos HaMidbar. Yishilach Es HaSoyer, how does it say in Chumash? It says, he sends his sword to the Midbar. So before the Kain Gadol knows that the Ish Iti arrived to the Midbar, his Avodah, the Kain Gadol's Avodah is not finished. He has to stand in the Azara. He can't sit and he can't leave the Azara. He wants to sit down, he has to leave, but he's not allowed to leave the Azara. He has to stay in the Azara in a standing position for an hour till he knows that it's already 3 mil of time went by. He knows the Ishiti already arrived at the Tchilos HaMidbar, so then the Kain Gadol is allowed to leave the Azara in order to lay in Kriyas HaTorah. So in Europe, there used to be communities, they still have by some Hasidic communities, that they have a pause. We recite the Seyd Avodah in the middle of Musaf, so they would bedavke have a pause of over an hour in between Musaf and Kriyas HaTorah, Zechel HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash there would be a pause of over an hour, approximately an hour. If a mil is 18 minutes, it's a little less than an hour. If a mil is 22 and a half minutes or 24 minutes, so it's a little over an hour. So they had a minig in many Hasidic communities to make a Zechel HaMikdash, to have a pause in between the Seyd HaVodah Musaf and the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. The Kriyas HaTorah we do by Mincha is not the Kriyas HaTorah. Kain Gadol's Kriyas HaTorah was what we laid in the morning, before Musaf, in between Shachmer. Kain Gadol had a laying the Parshas Achrei Mois. We don't do that. We lay Achrei Mois in the morning before we daven Musaf. But in many communities, they wanted to make a Zechel HaMikdash, so they would have Dafka such a pause. Taka, what's the gedder? What's the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur in the afternoon?
It's a continuation preparation like we do every week. In other words, every Shabbos, when you finish one parasha, you continue to the next one. That's exactly what you're doing here.
Right. Right, so Rav Soloveitchik said there was a dayan in Vilna, the Marcheshes, Rav Henoch Egis. He was older than Rav Chaim Heuser, and he outlived Rav Chaim Heuser. He delivered a hesped. He was the Zkan HaRabban. Rav Chaim Heuser was the world's genius. He was the big paisik. Rav Henoch Egis was older than him. So when Rav Soloveitchik used to go to visit Rav Chaim Heuser when he was in Berlin in the university, he used to go every so often to Vilna. Probably took a couple of hours to travel by train from Berlin to Vilna. So he used to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Heuser, so he would speak also every so often with Rav Henoch Egis. So he would tell over stories about Rav Henoch Egis and tell over psukim. So this is one of the things, the Marcheshes, Rav Henoch Egis has this in his tshuvas. Rav Soloveitchik didn't know it from the tshuvas, he knew it bal peh, he heard it from him. So Rav Henoch Egis quotes a tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a discussion, what's the nature of Kriyas HaTorah on Mincha on Yom Kippur? Is it like Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Shabbos afternoon? So Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, so that's why we have Kriyas HaTorah. Or is it like a Tainus Sibur? On a Tainus Sibur we have. And he has an Afkamina. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an Afkamina. So Rabbi Henoch Egis says, it's a Machlokes, the Mechaber, and the Ramo. There's a Machlokes, the Rishonim. When you say the Haftorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur afternoon, so do you end off Magen David, like on the Taina Sibur, or do you continue Allah Torah, Val Hu Avodah, Val Hu Nevi'ah, Yom HaKippurim Hazdeh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim, Melech Melech V'Selech, Lavei Nesenu, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim. So the Mechaber writes that you say Allah Torah, Val Hu Avodah also. And the Ramah says we don't say that. So that's what the Marcheshes explained. That's exactly the Machlokes. If you say Allah Torah Valavoda, he's saying that is B'Torah Yom Kippur, B'Torah Shabbos. If you end off Mogen David, so what you're saying is like a tiny Siva. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik gathered on, that there are clearly two Minhogim. The meaning is that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Baal Kori does the Kriyas HaTorah with a very eerie niggun, not the regular niggun. And then, because he has the Kriyas HaTorah with a very heavenly niggun, a very scary niggun, so the one who gets a bracha, the one who says a bracha, says, oh, Baruch Hu Hashem, Hamavayro. You don't say the normal way. And on Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, the two minhagim, whether you're back to normal, the bracha is normal, and the Kriyas HaTorah is normal, but it's also the eerie niggun. So Rav Soloveitchik said that everything should be consistent. If you plan to say the bracha la Torah ba'al avodah like the Mechaber, then you should have the Aseres Yemei Teshuva Nigun, then it's a Yom Kippur Kriya, and the bracha should be recited with that Eri Nigun. Usually Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. Rav Soloveitchik said that in Valojin he used to follow the Mehogam Valojin. He said in Valojin they used to follow the Mechaber on this. So in Boston he used to hear Dangefiat and Maimonides that whoever gets Maftir, he never got Maftir Yoina because he's a Levi. Mafta Yoina has to be a Shlishi, has to be a Yisrael. So whoever got the Mafta Yoina by Mincha, so he would tell him to say the last bracha, which is not printed in the regular Machzor. It's printed by Shachris. It's not printed by Mincha.
Would he allow a non-fast event to get to the Sila Hachmir or even Mahakya?
I don't know. That's Rabbi Kivega's tshuva. Rabbi Kivega has the Shaila. What if a person is not permitted to fast on Yom Kippur? So he observes everything he's supposed to observe. Is he allowed to get an aliyah? So Rabbi Kivega says, an aliyah for Shachris, we're sure he can get. He's observing Yom Kippur to the best of his ability. He's observing what he's mechuyev to. But the shaila is, what about Mincha? Can he get an aliyah? So Rabbi Kivega declares the shaila is the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha B'Torah's Tainus Sibur. So whoever's not fasting shouldn't get an aliyah. Or is it B'Torah's Yom Kippur? So he's observing Yom Kippur to the extent that he's obligated to, so he can get an aliyah. So that's what the Macheshes said. The Dion of Rabbi Kivegir is a Machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. That's this Machlekes HaRishonim. Let me just close. The Gemara has a din about Yom Kippur Shecholi is B'Shabbos. The Gemara says that on a normal Yom Kippur, min amincha ola maila, late in the afternoon, Mincha Gedoyla is a half an hour after Chatzos. And Mincha Ktana is the last 2.5 hours of the day before the Shkia. That's called Mincha Ktana. So the Gemara says, Ben HaMincha LaMailot, later in the day, after 2.5 hours. So the Gemara says you should start preparing food for Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Knivas Yerek, the Gemara says, Knivas Yerek. What is in Knivas Yerek? You chop up the vegetables, and mefatzim agoizim, you crack open nuts, and you prepare the food for Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So usually this is an Issa Derabbanan of Hachana. You're not doing a malacha, you just, let's say, you set the table, you put the chairs, you chop up the food. Hachana, that's not a malacha. Right. So Hachana usually is also a Derabbanan. You're not allowed to do Hachana on Yontif V'chol or Shabbos V'chol. So since it's only an Issa Derabbanan, so on Yom Kippur, they permitted it. The Rambam holds that Knivas Yerek is not only Hachana, because the Mishnah points out it's even a shtikel malacha midirabbanan. Knivas Yerek means you rip out, when you have vegetables, so you rip out part of the vegetable that's spoiled and you throw it out, and you're only left with the edible part of the vegetable. So that's an iser of a borer. So how can you do a malacha? So the Kesem Mishnah says, no, the Rambam is talking, the spoiled part of the vegetable is not so spoiled, it's really edible b'shas hadchak. So it's only borer midirabbanan, it's not borer minatar. So even that they permitted. On a regular Yom Kippur, they permitted it. But when it's Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shabbos, then we don't permit neither the Knivas Yerek nor the Mefatzim Agoizim. We don't permit it. And then the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote from the Gemara that the minig developed, we don't permit it even on a regular Yom Kippur. Why? So the Gemara says, because the Balabatim started doing it earlier in the afternoon. They didn't wait till 2.5 hours before. And it's only when I'm in Chalamayla. So when the Rabbanim saw that they're misusing this heter, they're preparing too far in advance, so they told the Balabatim, no more heter. You're not allowed to use the heter at all. So the minhag today is that it does make a difference whether Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Chol, we don't permit Knivas Yerek in preparation. But Meikir Adin, the Gemara says there was a difference. The Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Shabbos, we don't permit Knivas Yerek. And Yom Kippur Shechali is B'Chol, they always used to permit it, min amincha l'maylo. No, we should all have a Gmachsim Ateva, a good yard. After Yontif, we're going to go back to learn Saita.
A good yard on
name. Is there a
shear
next week?
My impression is that not. I am free. Anybody's free, everyone's gone away. I assume no one's going to be here. Yes. I think Yoshi is.
Oh, man, a good yard, a good yard.